WSBX W243CL Shelbyville.
High school basketball is on Giant FM. Thank you to these sponsors of high school basketball. Major Health Partners, Shelby County Drug-Free Coalition, Sandman Brothers, BP Dock Shop, McKay Manor First Bank Shelbyville, Heritage House, Mayor Tom Devon, Shelby Materials, Cagney's Pizza King, Maximum Results, Clark Orthodontics, Koenig Equipment. Now let's go courtside for high school basketball on Giant FM Sports.
Coming off an historic night, but a loss on the road. Shelbyville Golden Bears are back home to cap off a back-to-back Friday-Saturday weekend with the Spartans of Connersville tonight on Giant FM Sports. Good evening, I'm Johnny McCrory. Thank you for joining us as we open with our Shelby Materials pregame report. Shelby Materials, your concrete and aggregate experts. On the historic side, Zach Kuhn became Shelbyville's all-time leading scorer, surpassing Harry Larrabee last night. On the game side of things, Shelbyville saw a 9-point lead dissipate in the final 125 and lost in overtime at Columbus North, 82-76. My broadcast partner is the editor of the Shelbyville News, Jeff Brown, and to the history side of things first, Zach Kuhn now has a record he'll continue to add to for the rest of this season. And he passed the man who's right at the top of the heap as far as the Golden Bear in Harry Larrabee.
Well, I think that's what's so impressive about it. That record has been standing since 1970, and you think of all the great teams that John Heaton ran through here, but never a scorer that just put up that many points, and a guy like Zach who can do it in just a myriad of ways. That's a record that you really got to hang your hat on and really be proud of to take a guy like Harry Larrabee and knock him down to number two, and a guy I know Harry's thrilled that Zach Kuhn has taken that record off the board for him.
To the game, though, Shelbyville 9-point lead with just under 90 seconds left to play, missed some free throws in separate trips to the line, threw the ball away against backcourt pressure, and Columbus North comes back and then controls the overtime. It's not a loss in conference. It's not a loss that really damages anything you might hope to do this year, but it made for a long bus ride home.
Well, I think it goes to show, I think, what we've seen from the Golden Bears in games 1, 2, and 3 so far this season. There's just not a lot of room for error. They can't give things away. They're going to have to play things very solid night in, night out. Like you said, you've got to take care of the ball. You've got to hit free throws. You've got to get to the free throw line, not just stand out there and chuck threes all night. And you've got to be solid defensively. And we've seen flashes of kind of all those have come together, but especially as this schedule keeps getting tougher and tougher and you get into your Hoosier Heritage Conference play, you've got to be sharp night in and night out to get a W.
Zach Kuhn poured in 28 points for a second consecutive outing, grabbed 12 rebounds and 5 assists. But here's the difficult part, and it's not anything that'll be surprising. We knew that it was coming. The best defender will get the Kuhn assignment from the opposing team. And then there is somebody else, typically somebody else who was playing halfway on his assignment, halfway to Kuhn, and there might even be a third guy who's told, you better know where Zach is on the floor all the time. Shelbyville still needs to find a balance as much as they can in scoring, so second and third defenders have an assignment elsewhere they need to pay attention to.
Well, I don't think Ryan Mack's surprised by that. I doubt Zach Kuhn's surprised by that. That's the common sense thing to do with the roster you see on the floor right now. DJ Kramer, night one at Rushville, splashes threes left and right, struggles in night two, didn't have the night three. Josh Williams has really struggled with his jump shot the first couple games, was a little bit better last night, but those guys have got to knock down shots just to keep people from looking at Zach to do everything. And so if that takes some pressure off Zach, gives Shelbyville that balance, their offense will be a lot better.
Shelbyville comes back home and welcomes in a Connersville team that has often been quite the opposite of what Shelbyville has. Kerry Brown has a very disciplined and probably a better word, deliberate style, especially on the offensive end. They have graduated. Connersville has 12 seniors over the last two seasons from teams that have averaged 24 wins per season. But even with a fairly inexperienced group, Connersville will bring the same type of disciplined, deliberate style to the court tonight.
Well, I was looking at Kerry Brown in his 18th year overall. I feel like we've seen just about every one of those 18 years.
Just about.
We've seen him with a number of Rushville teams coming here, and you just look at it when he comes in with a team and you look at his roster and he comes out with a W, like, how did he do that? But they know who they are. They play their system. And I think we're seeing something a little bit different from this year. That inexperience on the varsity roster has really had to move up. They bring back one starter, two guys that had bench time last year, and everybody else is brand new to the varsity level. So that's a big difference when you're in the big game on Friday night, the big game on Saturday night, and you're getting the other team's best players in front of you. That's going to take a little bit of time. Shelbyville really may be the more veteran team of the two tonight, which you're not going to say a lot of nights in games.
Last season, Shelbyville dropped a heartbreaker on the road at Connersville. Looking back, the final 28 seconds of that one-point loss at the Spartan Bowl.
Connersville, 33. Shelbyville, 32. 28.5 seconds remain. Shelbyville must come length of the court. It'll back off into straight man-to-man. Josh Williams brings it across. Shelbyville looking for the lead with a bucket this trip. The crowd coming to its feet here in Connersville. Blackwell and Williams out front. Clock down to 13. Kuhn with it. Head fake. Elevates. Mid-range jumper. Good by Zach Kuhn. Good by Zach Kuhn. Timeout. Connersville with 7.2 seconds left. Shelbyville with a one-point lead. And Connersville will now have to come length of the floor looking for a final shot. Kuhn came off a curl opposite baseline, came up the right side of the lane, got possession of the basketball, and instead of some other shots where he's had some head fakes that turned into fallaways or leaners or he took contact, this time the defender went up in the air on the head fake, and on his way down, it left Kuhn almost an uncontested shot for Zach, who can get up off the floor readily on that jump shot. He elevated and hit from right around the left elbow, giving Shelbyville again a one-point lead. 7.2 seconds to go. Connersville will come again length of the floor. Shelbyville has no fouls to give. See how Shelbyville wants to defend this. Your first assignment, if you're the Bears defensively, is Garrett Silcott. Can you find a way to, once Silcott gets the ball, assuming that he does, to spin him or make him pull up and give it up? Silcott is actually set up on the far end of the floor for the moment, away from the basketball. Shelbyville will not defend the inbounder. They will double team on Silcott, trying to keep it out of his hands. Dalton Lee to trigger this inbound. Shelbyville leads by one. Connersville coming length of the floor with 7.2 to go. Lee gets it into Silcott. Shelbyville backs off Silcott. He's got to run to the basket, into the paint, lofts it up, off the glass. Good for two. Shelbyville screaming for a timeout, and they will not get it. Silcott got down toward the right block, and it was almost a jumping hook shot that kissed high above the box on the glass and fell through with 1.1 seconds to go. Ryan Mack immediately calling for a timeout. He did not get it. And Connersville has built a now three-game win streak over the Shelbyville Golden Bears, winning in dramatic fashion tonight, 35-34.
The heartbreaker from a year ago for the Golden Bears. There's no Garrett Silcott. He's at IU East. No Grant Smith from a couple of years ago. He's performing very well for a talented and highly ranked Indiana Wesleyan team. This series, since they began playing 4 years ago, has been consistently close, except for that one anomaly, which was a complete debacle 3 seasons ago over at the Spartan Bowl for the Bears.
Yeah, I remember that night. That was an ugly, ugly performance for Shelbyville. But this is one of those kind of neat Indiana rivalries. I mean, they're 45, 50 minutes apart. A couple great gyms to be in. You know, fan bases that are pretty strong, like to travel to each other's gym. It's one of those nice matchups you have early in the season just to kind of test and see where you are.
Coming up on the pregame, we'll talk with the head coaches. Ryan Mack for the Golden Bears. Kerry Brown, the head coach at Connersville. You're listening to High School Basketball, Giant FM Sports.
Hi, I'm Blake Salmon from Salmon Brothers. You may know we're the one dealer in Shelbyville to offer 7 great brands all at one dealership. But did you know we're also the first place you should bring your vehicle for auto repair and body work? For complete service, call 392-2636 to schedule your next appointment. For your next Buick, Cadillac, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram, service, body shop, and parts all in downtown Shelbyville. SalmonBrothers.com. Why go anywhere else?
Local news and high school basketball is on Giant FM.
Giant FM Sports back in Garrett. Golden Bears welcome in Connersville. Ryan Mack on our coaches conversation brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville. The excitement of the anticipation finally coming to an end with Zach chasing Harry Larrabee for the all-time scoring mark, but a loss. So you had to handle emotions on both ends of the spectrum last night.
Yes, you know, we didn't. Zach's not the type of kid that cares about the record. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, he understands, you know, the magnitude of it, but he cared more about getting the win. If we could have got a win, him not get the record, I know for a fact he would have taken that, because at halftime, he knew he had 11 points, and he said, don't call the timeout if I score right away. He said, because, you know, we have momentum going. And I was like, Zach, we're going to call it regardless. But, he, you know, he doesn't care about that kind of stuff. I asked him before tonight, you know, do you want your parents on the floor with you? He's like, Coach, I don't care if we do anything. And I'm like, Zach, this is a big record. We got to do something. You know, it's just his character, and, you know, that's why he fits perfect at West Point.
Sometimes you have to bow to the mask.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, I told him, I said, I'll be hung outside of Garrett if we don't do something.
You are going to see this. You've seen it for 3 games in some form or another, where there is always whoever the best defender is for their team is going to get Zach. And then there's going to be a second defender who's in the neighborhood, and there may even be a third defender who is told, you better know where Kuhn is all the time. You're going to have to overcome that all season long.
Yes, and, you know, I think that he's a strong enough player that he can overcome, and he did last night. I mean, he had 2-3 guys on him a lot of times during the game, and still shot a really very high percentage in regulation. So, you know, I think that other guys just got to step up and hit some shots, and last night we didn't do that outside of Garrett and Josh. The other guys didn't make any shots, and, you know, it was good to see some of those guys come in here and shoot this morning, and I think that, you know I have confidence in them to keep shooting, and they have to shoot those open shots.
If you missed the story last night, Josh Williams had gotten a flu shot in his right arm. All of a sudden, he finds his jump shot with a little bit of swelling. Anybody walk around and give him a shot here today?
He needs one, I guess. He did shoot it well last night, you know, and he's disappointed in himself about the free throw line at the end of the game. But like I told these guys, you know, it wasn't a sectional game. It was not a conference game. We have to just get back and do our best to try to find a W tonight and get to 3-1 heading to Newcastle.
And to get your heads up to face a team, or at least a program we know that consistently is as disciplined as anybody you're going to see.
Now, I always say whenever we talk about coaches in the state of Indiana, I think that Kerry Brown is the best. You know, what he's able to get high school kids to do is, you know, just phenomenal. And, you know, they don't make mistakes, and they don't turn the ball over. You know, it's hopefully we're able to change the tempo a little bit at different points of tonight. But they're a tough team to do it against, and we'll see how it goes.
Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Johnny.
Coach Ryan Mack with us. More to come here from Garrett Gym on Giant FM Sports.
Picture this: the long winter nights are over. You wake up to the birds chirping, coffee brewing, and the sun peeking up over the horizon to shed that first light on the Maximum Results real estate sign in your front yard. You know there's no better time than now to put your house on the market, and Maximum Results would love to help you prepare, list, and sell your home. Whether looking to buy or sell, we have the experience and know-how to get the maximum results. Contact Tyler Hankins at 317-364-8913 today.
Local radio is high school basketball on Giant FM.
Garrett Gym boys basketball Saturday night. Connersville in to take on the Golden Bears. We're joined by Spartans head coach Kerry Brown. Now, Connersville versus Rushville, there's pretty good name value in that by itself, but tell me what was added last night with Brown versus Laker in the coaching assignment.
You know, I just wanted to make it about the kids in the game. It wasn't about Doug and I. I mean, we've been roommates, coached together, best friends. and colleagues in this profession, but I just didn't want all that, any of that to be a part of it. It was about the teams and the kids and the game, so, you know, as far as I was concerned, it was.
Tell me about the game. You win by one.
Yeah, we were up 12. We were up 7-12 most of the game, and they hit some threes in the last quarter. We missed some free throws to keep the door open for them, and actually went down 1 point, and then our kids had enough boys. I mean, the gym was packed, and it was loud, and, you know, we got to stop and got to score and got the lead back, which is important, and escaped with a 1 point conference win on the road.
Garrett Silcott in that class a year ago, maybe a dozen seniors over the last 2 years you've graduated. What's this bunch going to do?
Yeah, we have exactly 12 seniors over the last 2 years and a couple of really good scholarship players. We're still finding ourselves. You know, when you lose people like that, you you don't realize until after you've lost them just how much they meant and all the little things, intangibles like leadership. And, you know, sometimes when someone's pressing you, you know, Garrett, just get the ball down the floor and not worry so much about strategy.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, so we're a work in progress, but I think we've got a good team. I think we've got an opportunity to grow and get better and be a good team by the end of this season. We're just we have one starter back, Noah Belt, one good one, and two kids that played off the bench for us. So for coach, even it's different this year because we don't have all that experience returning.
Tell me about Noah's game. How is it adapted, and what are you looking for him as he grows into, I would guess, more of a leadership role?
Yeah, I mean, he's been around some really good people, so I hope he was paying attention, and he has done a good job leading for us in the off season and in the preseason and during the season. He's a quiet kid, but he's speaking more than he probably ever has, and he knows it's his turn. Our other senior, Dylan Logan, has done a really good job for us, too, because he was a JV junior last year, and he started thus far in the season because of what he's done in the offseason and early in the year. But, you know, those are two guys, and I've been pretty happy with what they've done from a leadership standpoint.
Talk about the Bears team you play tonight.
Talented, very good. We were just commenting, and all of our preparation this week's been for last night's game because it was the conference game. But, you know, watching them on tape, and obviously I got to see them even though I was watching Rushville, and then I got to watch their game last night. Just impressed with the Coon boy. Looks like Williams is coming out of maybe his shooting slump a little bit. And the comment I made was, you know, they graduated all those guys from last year's team, and they're averaging more points now than they did last year. And I think that's probably a lot of that has to do with Zach's game stepped up. And then they've got some other kids that I don't know where you guys keep finding that, but you guys always seem to have five guys that can score the ball on the floor. And that's the most impressive thing about them is, you know, I don't feel like we've been that fortunate to have five scorers on the floor at times. So, you know, we played a different style, a little bit different pace, and always really emphasized the defensive and rebounding aspects of the game to try to win these tough games.
Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Johnny.
Kerry Brown with us. Coach's Conversation is brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville on Giant FM Sports.
If Shelby, you shop for a used vehicle, you want to make sure it's a quality used vehicle. That's why it's important to buy from a dealer that offers certified pre-owned vehicles. Acra Automotive is your local certified pre-owned vehicle dealer. Acra Automotive has served Shelby County for over 20 years with quality pre-owned vehicles, and now they're certified. Visit today to find out why your family, friends, and neighbors continue to buy from Acra Automotive, 1200 East State Road 44, Shelbyville.
Only the best will do. Only the best for you. Acra Automotive Group.
Get the inside story weekday mornings on Giant FM Sports.
Maximum results with our starting lineups as Shelbyville and Connersville complete warm-ups ahead of varsity tip-off. Dream homes found here with maximum results. For the Shelbyville Golden Bears, at one guard, a 6-foot senior, Josh Williams. 15.3 points per game through three, coming off a 23-point performance last night. Jeff, 7 rebounds and 6.3 assists. I don't know if in those two categories combined, you'll find a more productive point guard in the area.
Well, I think he's quick, strong, athletic, can get to the rim just about whenever he wants. The only knock this season early, the first couple games, was knocking down jump shots. just to make his game a little more complete. If he finds that part of the game again, he is going to be maybe the best point guard in Shelby County and maybe in this part of the area.
Joining him in the backcourt, Zach Kuhn, 6'4", senior, wearing number 15. And there are so many categories. Double-digit rebounding, of course, for many years now. Double-digit scoring to the tune of becoming the all-time leading scorer.
Well, as Coach Brown was talking in his interview, despite graduation, Shelbyville is averaging more points because I think Zach's got a little more free reign to kind of do what he needs to do in the game to get this team points and get them to win. So you're seeing him up his game a little bit. Shelbyville can be explosive, especially if they can get their three-point shooting game going. And with the emergence of Luke Asher in the low post, they can be a potent team.
Starting at a guard, 6'1", senior, number 20, DJ Kramer. Just better than 8 points per game, but 19 of those came in the season opener.
Yeah, he's got to find some consistency, and he's got to find a way to help this team offensively when his jump shot's not going in. He's got to get to the hole a little bit more and just try to get to the free throw line. Get a basket to go through. You'll find your range longer out. It'll help a little bit.
At a forward, Luke Asher, 6'4". The junior wears number 24, just under 15 points and 7 rebounds per game.
Well, he's active. He's active and he's aggressive. And he'll go after the ball, and he's been getting points in the low post from. He's going to have a little bit bigger challenge tonight. He's going to be looking up at somebody in the low post a little more often than he's seen early this season.
And rounding out the starting five for Shelbyville, a 6'2 senior. Number 2, Garrett Davis, hit all three of his three-point attempts before fouling out late in regulation last night. 5 points, 4 rebounds per game, but also 3 assists. The often-used point guard now at a guard-forward slot.
Well, he can do a little bit of everything, and he's very comfortable in any of those roles. It's him to be confident enough to pull the trigger when he's left open and then just try to slash a little bit. He's got good vision to pass, and he's been a very good rebounder for Shelbyville.
Shelbyville coached by Ryan Mack in his sixth season, averaging 70.3 points per game, giving up 60 on the defensive end with a record of 2-1. For the Spartans of Connersville, at a guard, a 5'10 junior, number 10, Clay Garrison, at 7 points and 2.5 assists per game. At a guard, 5'10 junior, number 20, Garrett Wicks, averaging right around 7 per game. At a guard, 6 feet tall, senior, number 22 is Dylan Logan. Logan just better than a point and 4 rebounds per game. At a forward slot, 6'7 junior, number 50, Jacob Brown, just under 7 points and 6 rebounds per game. And the returning leading scorer and the leading scorer on the young season, a 6'1 senior, number 30, Noah Belt, 18.5 points per game through the first two, and the guy that they can probably say, the one guy they know can score for this team as of right now.
Well, as Coach Brown said, they've graduated 12 seniors the last 2 years, so they're still trying to find their way. You can almost kind of liken that to probably what Shelbyville is going to go through next season after you look at the big graduation class they had last year and then losing Zach Kuhn, Josh Williams, DJ Kramer, and Garrett Davis this year. That's going to be a lot of that. Your team next year is going to be looking at that same thing. Can you do experience at the varsity level against the other school's best players? How consistent can you be night in, night out?
Connersville coached by Kerry Brown, his 10th year with the program, 18th year overall. Connersville, like the Bears, at 2-1. They do, however, come off a victory last night. A 1-point win, 12-point lead went away, and then they held on for the victory at Rushville, 43-42. Other games on the area boys basketball schedule tonight. Triton Central at Southwestern. Triton Central beat Waldron last night, 77-66. However, I look more at the Waldron side of things right now. A Waldron team that blasted Crystal Academy, lost a 7-point game against Bethesda Christian, and now put 66 on the board against Triton Central. If nothing else, I think we can say Will Stahl has a better team this year than a year ago.
Yeah, obviously going to be a little more competitive this year. Can they play defense well enough, though, to keep other teams off the scoreboard?
Southwestern won a low-scoring slugfest with Eastern Hancock for their first victory last night. Those Waldron Mohawks are in conference play at Edinburgh this evening. Morristown, they did something last year's team didn't do. They beat Hauser in the regular season, and now Morristown would seem to have the road laid out for them to be the Mid-Hoosier Conference champ in this particular season.
Well, we'll see what they can do the next couple weeks. Everything's kind of done with the celebration from last year. Now that's a team that's still pretty talented. They're just kind of maybe sliding under everybody's radar right now. We'll see what kind of momentum and role they can get on.
Yellow Jackets hosting Oldenburg tonight. Also, Mount Vernon hosting Fishers. Shelbyville will see Mount Vernon in conference play in 2 weeks. Number 2, 4A Carmel at Pendleton Heights. Number 2, 3A Newcastle may not be in that ranking for very long without Mason Gillis and a loss last night to Hamilton Heights. They play at Anderson this evening. Delta already posted a win this afternoon, beating Bluffton 65-30. Also, South Decatur at Rising Sun. North Decatur hosting South Ripley. Westdale at Eastern Hancock. Columbus East plays its season opener, coming off yet another successful football season. The Olympians are at Southwestern Hanover coming up tonight. We're moments away from tip-off between Connersville and Shelbyville. It's next on Giant FM.
House of Shelbyville, your leading rehab to home long-term care and memory care community, will always be full of the friendly, caring faces that come guaranteed with our signature family-owned and operated reputation. Now our warm and inviting atmosphere comes with a brand new remodeled makeover. Heritage House is excited to announce we have doubled the size of our brand new memory care wing. Haven Court, come visit us at 2309 South Miller Street or call 317-398-9781 to tour our beautiful new memory care wing, Haven Court.
This is high school basketball on Giant FM.
Johnny McCurry, Jeff Brown from Garrett Gymnasium, where Shelbyville Zach Kuhn is being recognized at center court for capping off last night's chase of Harry Larrabee for the all-time scoring mark at Shelbyville High School. And why did it get very quiet all of a sudden at Garrett? Here we go. Head coach Harry Larrabee, from his days on the sidelines as coach, former player, and the holder of the all-time scoring mark. They're having an audio piece now from Coach Larrabee playing here at Garrett Gym. We'll take a break. More to come here from Garrett. Starting lineups and tip-off are next on Giant FM.
Do the same thing over and over, you become an expert. At Shelby Materials, they get outstanding feedback from their customers. They hear things like, "I know they'll take care of me." It may sound odd that a concrete and aggregate company would care so much about what other people think, but they do. Look for the blue and yellow trucks. Shelby Materials, the concrete and aggregate expert. Bottom line, they'll take care of you. ShelbyMaterials.com.
Local news and high school basketball is on Giant FM.
Continuing on the pregame report brought to you by Shelby Materials, Johnny McCurry, Jeff Brown. I had forgotten that they had the audio piece with Harry Larrabee they were going to play over the PA here, so it became so quiet I wanted to break away. We weren't able to pick up that audio good enough for you folks on the radio to hear it, so I wanted to get out of the gym as quickly as possible and let that play here. But as we mentioned at the top of the broadcast, there's nobody who, even from afar, living down near Austin, Texas now, is Harry Larrabee, who got to watch plenty of Zach Kuhn basketball over the years. He's enjoyed this being culminated as well.
Well, I know before Harry left, he was talking about he'd probably try to listen as much as he can. Might have the game on radio tonight. I'd be remiss if he's listening tonight to say, "Harry Boomer Sooner, one more time, my Sooners beat his Texas Longhorns." I'm actually wearing an OU hat tonight, bought for me by Harry Larrabee.
That's
before
right.
He left. Got really fond feelings for Coach Larrabee. Just a terrific guy. It was wonderful having him here and getting to know him. And that was his message to Zach. He's been around Zach since he was coming up through the chain, so he knew this was the guy that was probably going to break it. It's just a kid that's done everything the right way, really just outworked everybody else to get better, played at the highest levels of AAU ball, and now going to be able to go to college. I know Harry's proud of him, and that was the message he wanted to convey.
JV scoreboard tonight, game won by Connersville, 42-28. But, Jeff, most of that deficit was in the very, very first period. The game played virtually even for the final three.
Yeah, it was 22-2 at one point when I looked up and heard the final scores. Matthew Bunton had 14 for Shelbyville tonight in that 39-28 loss.
One more quick look at the maximum results starting lineups for the Golden Bears. Williams and Davis, Coon, Kramer, and Asher. For Connersville, Garrison, Wicks, Logan, Belt, and Brown. Major Health Partners injury report is all clean. MHP experienced the major difference. And tonight's officials, Dave Childress, Terry Moss, and Richard Norris. Golden Bears in home white, trimmed in black. Connersville in the road red. And we're ready for tip-off from here at Garrett Gym. Both teams trying to avoid dropping down to the 500 mark. They stand at 2-1 entering play tonight. Asher and Brown in the center circle. Ball's up, and Connersville controls the tip. Shelbyville will show us early zone tonight. Typically start man-to-man, but we'll start in 2-3. Ball caught in the high post.
They want to challenge Connersville to shoot the three, and Connersville answers right away with one.
Quick answer from the top on the catch and shoot by Clay Garrison. Garrison gives Connersville a lead on the opening possession. Shelbyville front court against man-to-man. Williams beating his man. Coasting, floating, fingertip roll, no. Rebound tipped into the corner. Tracked down by Connersville. Into the front court come the Spartans with Belt bringing it forward. Garrison getting a shot. And Garrison to the left of the key hitting his second three of the early going.
I know Coach Brown likes to see that hot start, especially when you're on the road.
Zach Coon squares up, faces his man, hits the rim, the glass, and then the ball falls through. A long two, and Coon is on the board. 6-2, Connersville. BP Doc Shop scoreboard, and Shelbyville is out of that 2-3 zone.
Yeah, straight up man-to-man now. Coon chasing around, and he got the steal.
Ball knocked away. Coon on the dribble into the front court. Tried to float it for Asher. A lot of traffic in the neighborhood. Ball knocked loose. Saved inbounds by Connersville, and then deflected again, this time by Williams, out of bounds. It'll be Spartan basketball.
The Golden Bears, you got the turnover, but then you went down to the other end and got nothing out of possession and ended up turning it back over yourself. So, Coon matched up right now on Wicks. Watch Asher and Brown in the low post. Brown at 6'7", Asher at 6'4". See if they can take the advantage of the height in the low post.
Williams has Garrison on the point, now has acquired Belt in a switch. The Bears do switch a great deal in this man-to-man.
Coon on Belt.
Belt gives it up on the wing. Brown out on the perimeter. He'll put it on the floor once and bring it up top.
Well, you can't fall asleep with these guys because they're cutting in and out, up and down, left and right. They're always in movement there. You turn your head one way and your guy's gone to the rim.
Garrison holding out between the circles. Bouncing for Brown. He'll bounce pass across the lane. Head fake Logan and the second defender. And we saw it four times against Columbus North last night. Coon stepping in to reject the shot either from behind his own teammate or from behind the shooter.
Yeah, Logan needed to go quicker. Brown gave him the great feed as Williams turned his head just a little bit to help out on Brown, and he was wide open, but he took his time going up and then allowed Coon to come get the block.
Belt with it on the perimeter, defended now by Coon. Skip pass, and a ball sent about 8 feet in the air and too high for Garrison, out of bounds into the bleachers.
Can't really skip off anything when you throw it that high in the air. That was over the cheerleaders' heads up into about the third row.
6-2 Connersville, 5:46 to go in the first.
See if Williams is the advantage for Shelbyville tonight. I think he can get to the rim whenever he wants on some of these inexperienced guards for Connersville.
Zach Coon with a catch, elevates and scores from 19. A couple of long twos for Coon, pulling Shelbyville within two at the 5.5 mark in the first. Belt on the perimeter on the left hand, crosses over onto the right. Maintains the dribble, now finds an open look three for Garrett Wicks. It's off the mark, long rebound for Brown. Connersville resets. Brown back to the basket, turns, dribbles inside, pass from under the lane, and now back out on the perimeter where this time Wicks connects for a three.
3 3-pointers to start the game for Connersville. I don't think you would have expected that.
Coming in a 40% shooting team from long range. 9-4, Connersville. Coon wants the ball, being defended by Logan. Head fake, one-footed runner, good from the free throw line with contact. He'll go to the line.
Just going to say, he probably gave up the foul because the shot fake got his man in the air. All he had to do was step in and put a shot up. When he got the foul, he stepped to the side, tried to one foot up with a 15-footer there and ended up getting fouled and made the shot.
Logan will sit. Ethan Smith, a 6'3 junior, number 34, will check in at the line, completing a three-point play. Zach Kuhn, who has all of the Bears' points. Shelbyville trailing Connersville, 9-7. Holding on the right wing against the man-to-man, and a ball cross court that goes out of bounds as the pass was made by Smith. He thought a teammate was still there, but that man had vacated the area.
Smith just came in. Yeah, he was trying to hit Wilkes at the top of the key there, even a little bit stretched out, and Wilkes already turned around and made his cut for the basket, and there was no way to rescue the ball from going out of bounds.
Kuhn handing for Williams on the perimeter. Kuhn runs around baseline, comes back out beyond the three-point arc. He'll pull up over the defender, swish from 22. Well, the shooting touch was evident against Columbus North. It's even more so in this first period. 10-9, Shelbyville by one, Kuhn with all 10 points. Holding on the left wing, Kramer on the defensive side, but now on Garrison, who hit the first pair of threes in this game. Here is Belt driving, elevating, hanging in the air, and able to finish off the glass.
Yeah, there's a player with a lot of varsity experience just driving the lane there and taking it to the hole.
Kuhn, a step inside the volleyball line, misses off the dribble. Long rebound for Garrison. He'll push. Tried to bounce in the corner, but the pass deflected and stolen by Josh Williams.
Four turnovers for the Spartans.
And Williams presses the issue, almost got himself in a dangerous point in amongst four red jerseys, but a reach-in foul stops play, and maybe a key early foul as Clay Garrison has picked up number two. He'll stay in the game. Shelbyville inbounding baseline. Asher putting the shooting arm up into the defender from 10 feet away, draws the foul.
Get the foul on Belt there in the lane. Just size advantage there, and Luke has a high release, gets it up in the air over the top of him, and he'll shoot from the free throw line. Now he's going to make him pay from there, though.
Great start for this season for Luke Asher. Free throw good. 14.7 points, just under 7 rebounds per game. And the most free throw attempts on the team, shooting just under 70%. He'll get one of two this trip. First time someone other than Kuhn has scored for Shelbyville. Game now tied at 11. Dribbling on the perimeter is Wicks. Belt holding near center circle, defended by Williams. Belt will dribble it over onto the right side, square things up with Garrison between the circles. Just over 3 minutes left to play first period.
DJ Kramer just chasing Wicks along the low baseline there everywhere.
Belt with it. A little bit of a collision with Davis. Maintains the dribble, gives it up, gets it back, and now Belt to the rim as Kuhn stepped away. It threw off Belt's layup attempt. He missed it. Shelbyville running the other direction.
And Kuhn got away with one there.
Williams, a handoff to Davis. Davis, a quick trigger throw into the corner. And I think Kramer was looking for where the rim was before he made the catch. Off of him, out of bounds.
That was one underneath the goal in the NBA. They kind of let the whistle go to see if the ball goes in. When it doesn't go in, they call the foul. I really thought they were going to get Zach on the body there because he wasn't really in position, but ended up taking away a chance in Shelbyville, though, again, stopping a possession but not making it count on the other end.
Belt with it in the corner. Dribbles, baseline, floats, double pumped and missed. Rebound, Brown, got stripped. Shelbyville, loose ball rebound in the hands of Mitch Yin, the 5'10 sophomore just checking into the ball game. Here's Williams bottled up, Yin in the corner, and now Kuhn out at center circle.
Josh tried to get in the lane, but the one thing he's got to consider getting there, there's 6'7 waiting by the rim to protect it.
Yin in the ball game right now, down to the baseline. Kuhn catch, shoot, from three, top of the key, count it. What a start for Kuhn. 14-11, Shelbyville now by three, under two to play first period. Belt dribbling down to the free throw line, giving it up to number five, Jonah Graham, a 5'7 sophomore. Into the paint, Connersville, a reach and a foul. And Luke Asher on the personal.
Call it on the contact in the lane there, saying Luke wasn't set as Belt tried to get to the rim.
Belt will get a breather. Connersville inbounding on the baseline with Logan back in the contest. And he'll baseball throw it into the backcourt.
Seen the first two subs for Connersville. They're size on the roster, but they're not using it other than the 6'7 Jacob Brown.
On the perimeter, holding is Graham. Left alone from three steps beyond the arc. Jonah Graham a long range three.
You just come in and start shooting, coach.
14-14. Kerry Brown said, I may have the most shooters I've had in a while. I don't know about scores, but I have the most shooters. Kuhn from three, in and out. And the 5'7" Graham with a rebound. Connersville trying to break a 14 all time. Holding on the perimeter. And a catch and shoot top of the key that is an air ball, unless it was deflected, and it was not. Just a bad miss that time by Garrett Wicks.
Wicks will come out and belt quickly back into the game.
And another substitution behind him, Colton Sullenbarger, a 6'3 junior, replacing Brown. Shelbyville will get T.J. Sherwood off the bench. The 6'2 sophomore will give Garrett Davis a breather.
13 for Zach Kuhn earlier. We were talking night of the Triton Central game, when knowing Zach, if he'd had a monster night, could have maybe got the record that night. Maybe the one thing we haven't seen from Zach, one of those nights where he just gets really hot early on and the game stays tight where he's got to keep shooting.
He'll be called for traveling here.
He's got that quick start tonight, 13. But he needed, what was it, 43 or something against Triton. I don't think he's been over 40 in his career. He's been in the 30s before, but to have that just big night where you just go off and get 45, 47 because the game kind of dictates that you've got to keep scoring, he's got that kind of start tonight.
And this might be that kind of game.
It could be, especially with Connersville being in the mix here. 13 for Kuhn here in the first 7 minutes of the first quarter.
Final 45 seconds here. Connersville against Shelbyville man-to-man. Graham holding near the Frank Barnes court on the sideline.
No hurry now. Delivered already anyway. Now they're going to run this clock down unless something just gets wide open.
Ethan Smith baseline, yep. And Smith made a mistake. Trying to come to him was Belt on the baseline, but Belt had to go out of bounds to do so, and Smith made the pass a little bit early.
Too big now. Shelbyville can hold for the final possession. They've got the arrow in their favor, too. Could get two possessions out of this back-to-back.
Smith has the defensive assignment on Kuhn. Logan is guarding Williams, who holds the ball at the volleyball line with 13.
Zach's got to look to be a little more of a decoy now. This is the way he's got to check. He knows he's hot, but he can't force it.
Dropping the ball down low is Asher with a catch. In traffic, forced it up, no good. Loose ball, rebound to Kuhn. Falling out of bounds, a three that hit the top of the backboard. We're at the end of one. BP Doc Shop scoreboard. Shelbyville and Connersville tied at 14 on Giant FM Sports.
McKay Manor, the finest independent living retirement community with assisted services and 24-hour care for residents 55 and older in the area. McKay Manor's residents have everything they need to live life with more independence. Offering five-star dining, a full calendar of creative programs and outings, McKay Manor proudly accepts veterans' benefits and offers exceptional pricing on one- and two-bedroom apartments with full kitchens. To schedule a personalized tour and complimentary meal, give Tracy Tucker a call at 398-3100 or visit McKay Manor, 1473 East McKay Road, Shelbyville.
Have you heard about Cagney's Giant Deal? Go to giant.fm and print off the two-topping large pizza for only $9.99. And after you print off the coupon, bring it to Cagney's Pizza King, 33 East Broadway in Shelbyville, for a large two-topping pizza. And it only cost you $9.99. That is definitely a giant deal. For lunch, for dinner, before or after the game, for pizza, Mexican, or even Italian food, Cagney's is the place to go.
Local radio is high school basketball. Basketball. On Giant FM.
Johnny McCurry, Jeff Brown from Garrett Gym. 14-14 Shelbyville and Connersville as we get the second period underway. And the Alabama Crimson Tide have rallied to win the SEC Championship just concluded. Big Ten Championship, Northwestern and Ohio State being played tonight at Lucas Oil. Josh Williams with the ball, dribbling. And the defender beating him to the spot as he loses his balance and is called for an offensive foul.
I think just as much, too. Josh got a little off balance, too. I think whether his feet kind of tangled, he was a little bit sideways, momentum falling forward there, and couldn't get himself gathered under the control. And Shelbyville not getting anything on that final possession of the quarter, not getting anything to open the second quarter. And just goes back to our pregame talk. You've got to take advantage of every situation you can, this team. They don't have a lot of room for error. They've really got to play well, be sharp.
Changes on the floor early in the period will reset the lineups as Connersville comes front court. Smith, Belt with it on the dribble. Looking at Wicks on the sideline, can't get it there. The 6'7 Brown comes out on the perimeter. Dylan Logan rounding out the five on the floor for Connersville offensively. Shelbyville in man-to-man with Davis checking on Belt. Belt dribbles baseline, brings it back out. Yend with the defense in man-to-man on Logan. Ball down in the post. Help side defense, Zach Kuhn, who went for the block, but he'll be called for the foul on the block attempt.
Shelbyville, I think defensively a little quicker this year, you think, Johnny? A little more active, definitely, for sure. They were doing a good job closing out to the three-point line there. Got it down to Smith in the low post there, and Zach bringing the hammer down a little bit on the block enough that it gets called for the foul.
Ethan Smith at the line. DJ Kramer will check back in for Shelbyville, replacing Yin. Smith, 9 points a game off the bench. Connersville as a team, a 70% free throw shooting team. For Smith, that was his first miss after a couple of ball games. He makes the second for his first point of the night. And Connersville leading by one, 15-14.
See if Williams and Kuhn can get DJ Kramer involved in the offense. No shots at all in the first quarter.
Coming to the ball, Kuhn. Step back off the dribble, three short. Rebound contested, pulled away by Brown.
This is where Zach's got to be careful and not try to do too much out there right now. He knows he was hot early, but missed a couple shots now. Needs to get everybody involved.
Still early in the second, and Belt, the defenders fell away. He dribbled into a 15-footer, knocked it down. Noah Belt with four, his second field goal, 17-14 Connersville. Williams, Davis on the sideline. Now Kramer to the left of the key. Posting is Kuhn. Coming to the ball is Davis. Three ball on the way. Back rim, no. And the rebound off into the hands of Wicks. Belt front court. Crossover dribble. Beats Davis into the paint. Drops it off for Brown. Back on the perimeter. And now Smith will drive off the right wing. Opposite left corner pass. Skip pass again. And a three good by Garrett Wicks. That was pretty basketball.
Getting dizzy watching that ball zip around the wing there and back cross post there. Nice execution by the Spartans.
20-14, the Connersville advantage. 6-0 run to open the second period. Kuhn with it. Defender falls down. Kuhn, when he realized it, had dribbled beyond the three-point arc, left alone the three that he misses, but he's fouled. And Noah Belt picks up the foul, but he's looking over to his bench saying, he kicks out the leg. I ran into the leg.
Yeah, but he did. The problem is he hit the leg, and that's what caused Zach Kuhn to land down kind of hard on the floor there. And, you know, Reggie Miller made a career out of doing that. I'm not saying that's what Zach did, but Belt did run into the Kuhn's leg there. It's got to be a foul.
Three free throws. The first is good. Kuhn was fouled on a three-point attempt last night as well. And after Noah Belt stated his case, Kerry Brown's calmly addressing the same issue with the official right now. Two free throws for Kuhn so far, a third one coming. Sherwood will exit, Asher back in for the Golden Bears. And Kuhn drains all three. Zach Kuhn has all but one of the Golden Bears' points. Connersville a 20-17 advantage. Dribbling out front, Jonah Graham, guarded by Williams. He'll hand off for Wicks. Wicks looking at Logan, and now will give Logan the ball out near the timeline. Graham with it, volleyball line. Smith off him, or Williams off him, rather, about 8 feet. Kramer defending as Smith puts it on the floor. The kick on the wing, and an open Graham connects for his second tray, and Williams left his defender to sag in the middle.
Yeah, it hasn't taken me long to figure out you don't want to leave that kid wide open out there.
23-17, 6-point lead Connersville. Davis handoff, and then on a pick and roll attempt, Davis tripped, fell down, tweaked his left ankle a little bit. He's fine, but the ball went through him, or where he would have been, out of bounds.
I think Davis tried to roll and just got caught up in traffic there a little bit.
Timeout. 30 seconds with 4:50 left to go first half, and Connersville leading 23-17. High school basketball tonight being brought to you by First Bank Shelbyville, doing great things together. Boys basketball scoreboard last night, number 3 2A Morristown behind Logan Laster's 29 points with a win at 16th ranked 1A Hauser 59-43. Annick Hartzell had 22. Southwestern road win at Eastern Hancock 45-39. Triton Central also on the road with a win, beating Waldron 77-66. Pendleton Heights, tough place to play. They win at LaPel last night. Hamilton Heights with a win at Newcastle. We will be at Newcastle with the Golden Bear girls and boys next Friday night. Yorktown with its first win, beating a winless Muncie Burris team last evening. And Tecumseh over, or check that, number two Bar Reeve beat Tecumseh last night. Of note, Bar Reeve and Morristown played in last year's semi-state, and Morristown will play Tecumseh in the opening round of a tournament over Christmas time down at Forest Park. 23-17 here, Connersville the lead and the possession. And Shelbyville switching up its defense, and we may have our first look at it. 1-3-1, and a long three up top is missed. Williams, the rebound, breaks down the defense, gets to the elbow, and a diagonal pass to Garrett Davis for the lay-in.
Way to make a long three miss there, turned in transition, got an easy lay-in.
23-19, Connersville. Wicks in the corner, head fake, no shot. Shelbyville with the 2-3 defensively, trailing by four. And a ball intended for the high post, knocked free. Failure to make the catch by Logan, and they'll say he touched it as it went out of bounds.
First turnover for Connersville this quarter, had five in the first quarter. Shot 5 of 10 from the field, 4 of 6. Graham's last miss actually dropped Connersville free throw to 6 of 9 tonight. They're hitting the 3 well.
Williams into the paint. Defender falls away, but Williams not able to hit the 8-footer. Rattled out, rebounded by the Spartans.
Did everything right, it just didn't fall. It hit all three sides of the three different sides of the rim there and still wouldn't go in.
Holding out front is Graham. On the left is Wicks, and tried to loft it into the post. Two-hand steal by Williams the other way for two. Shelbyville getting out in transition and pulling to within two.
Well, this is what you want to do to this kind of team this year. In past years, you're down 6-8 to this team. You're in a lot of trouble. They're just going to spread you out, pick you apart, and take you down to the wire. Now you've got some younger guards out there that you can kind of harass a little bit and see if you can't make some mistakes.
Another mistake there by Connersville, but they'll live to talk about it. Skip pass over the zone, deflected out of bounds. Wicks will sit. Number 10, Clay Garrison, starting point guard, back on the floor. And Connersville will take a timeout here as well. 3:05 left in the first half, and a 23-21 lead for Connersville. Girls basketball last night. Number 3, 2A Triton Central with an 11-point run in the third period to get some cushion. Knocked off number 11, 1A Waldron last night, 49-34. But, you know, a game like that, maybe that's enough to finally get people to believe that this Waldron girls team, who pushed Jackson Dell to the final 2 minutes in the sectional last year, maybe they've got something. They'll play Jackson Dell on the road Tuesday night.
Well, they've certainly got talent and scores. It's just a matter of depth with that program, and that's kind of where Triton Central tends to exceed on a lot of teams. They're usually quite deep. Gives Waldron some hope for the county tourney as well.
Inbounding, sideline front court, Connersville following the timeout. Under 3 minutes to play, first half. Logan holding high on the right side. Kuhn playing off of him about two or three steps. Now Garrison with it. Garrison for Smith. He'll put it on the floor a couple of times. Looking at Brown in the post, but Asher has him fronted. Now Brown has it. Back to Smith. Driving, he'll kick in the corner. Graham a three, air ball this time. Rebound weak side, Asher. Long pass ahead and look out. Kuhn with the long throw intended for Williams. The ball goes out of bounds. They're going to say Connersville touched it last. And it wasn't intentional, but Connersville did make contact with Williams airborne, and no foul call.
There needed to be a yellow flag throw. That was contact on a defenseless receiver there is what it kind of looked like, as Logan went into Williams' shoulder and kind of spun him down to the court, but immediately picked him right back up, too. So there was nothing malicious about it, just a hard basketball play.
Kuhn will inbound off the baseline corner, get it for Williams. Williams into the paint. DJ Kramer, top of the key, travel. He's done that. And he actually did it, I think, on a couple of shots and got away with it against Rushville. He's very comfortable left dribble shoot. a little more trouble getting the feet set for the catch.
Yeah, it's just a little quick shuffle of the feet there to get set. He's just got to go straight up with it. Williams read it right and set him up perfectly for a top of the key three that he hit. Unfortunately, it goes down as a turnover, third of the quarter for the Golden Bears, who had three in the first quarter.
Connersville still leading by two. Sullenbarger feeds the post. Brown brings it outside. Garrison bobbled it, but had it right in front of him. High post area, Logan. Sullenbarger left wing, and he throws it way over the head of Garrison, out of bounds.
One thing we picked up on at Brown at 6'7", especially in a high school game, doesn't want to look at the basket at all, almost, unless he's just going to turn around and nobody's there. He's looking for to make that next pass when he gets set up in the low post down there.
He is strapped from Hoosiers.
He is a big guy, too. I mean, but he's not looking at the rim. He's looking to make the next pass when he gets it. He wants to facilitate more than he wants to score.
Davis holding on the wing. Kuhn baseline. Drives on the defender. And just got a half step on Smith, enough that he could make the move baseline. Smith whistled for the foul.
Yeah, he was slipping through a small hole there on the baseline and got the body contact.
It's been a clean game. That's only the eighth foul between the clubs. And the liberal substitution pattern for Kerry Brown continues as Garrison is out and Wicks is back in. Kuhn inbounding out front for Davis. Shelbyville trailing by two. Kuhn to the basketball, defended now by Brown. Elevates off the dribble, misses a three, and up and over and into the back is Luke Asher on the rebound attempt. Second on Asher, fourth on the Bears. And Asher will exit the contest, replaced by Mitch Yen.
Luke's talking like, I just flipped it and didn't get him, but you're coming over the back, and it's just the look that gives the impression that you put some enough contact into him to get it. I mean, Luke's aggressive. I love the fact that he's aggressive. Sometimes you just got to watch where he's picking up fouls.
23-21, we've been here for a while. Connersville with Graham on a catch-and-shoot three. Missed this one. Brown a long rebound. Graham has it again left wing. Swing it around the horn. Smith. High post catch for Brown. Now Smith on the perimeter. Smith for Wicks up top. Shelbyville 2-3 defensively. Logan comes up and throws a pass again that not really defense, and it goes into the backcourt. Out of bounds, turnover.
Seen that three or four times tonight, and that just goes to the inexperience of that Connersville guards right now. They just don't have that big game experience against quality opponents in front of them. They're guys that can come up from the JV level, and they're just, you know, it's still game four of the season for them in the varsity. A lot of just errant passes right now.
Williams, right wing Davis. Looked baseline, nothing available there. Now Kramer with it. Catch and shoot three. D.J. Kramer today.
Yeah, much better job. I mean, he made sure he got his feet set on that one. He went right up and hit the shot.
Shelbyville regains the lead, 24-23, 40 seconds left in the half.
Ended almost a three-minute drought on the scoreboard.
Graham dribbling. Shelbyville goes man-to-man. Kramer guarding on Logan. Holding on the right wing, yet to put it on the floor. And a five-second count on Dylan Logan. And he had not used his dribble.
How many Kerry Brown games have we seen, Johnny, where his team ends the night with probably seven turnovers or less? Connersville's got 10 right now, five in each quarter.
Not a number they're accustomed to, 9.5 per game on the season.
And at least half of those are really unforced errors, really just on themselves. And Shelbyville will hold for the final shot now.
15 seconds, Williams holding high on the left side of the offense. Now for Kuhn at the volleyball line, straight on. Kuhn to open Williams in the corner. Good cover. He'll have to dribble into a mid-range jumper, and he hits it. Connersville will have to hurry. A three-quarter court shot counts if it goes, and it hit the rim as time expired. Shelbyville with a bit of a run at the end of the second period. We'll take a 26-23 lead into the locker room at halftime. Acra Automotive halftime coming up on Giant FM Sports.
It's true. Union Savings and Loan CD interest rates are among the highest in all of Indiana. USLA is a mutual, which means we don't have stockholders who hope to make a profit off your banking transactions. We only have customers, and so we generally can have higher deposit interest rates and lower fees than other area banks. We invite you to check and compare our rates at uslabank.com. Union Savings and Loan.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Get the inside story weekday mornings on Giant FM Sports.
It's the Acra Automotive Halftime Report. Only the best for you. Shelbyville 26, Connersville 23. Johnny McCurry, Jeff Brown taking a look at first half numbers. For the Golden Bears, being led by Zach Kuhn with 16 points. However, 13 of those came in the opening period. Three free throws on a foul shot, or foul shots gained from a foul on a three-point attempt, the only scoring for Kuhn in the second period. 4 points, Josh Williams. A three-point field goal, DJ Kramer. A bucket for two for Garrett Davis. And Luke Asher with a free throw, accounting for the Golden Bears scoring so far. 4 of 5 free throw shooting in the first half. Fort Connersville, 6 points apiece from Jonah Graham, Clay Garrison, and Garrett Wicks. Noah Belt has 4, and Ethan Smith with a free throw for 1. Smith, the only free throw shooter for Connersville, he made 1 of 2 on that trip. 14-14, game tied after 1. Shelbyville now leading at the half, 26-23.
First quarter very similar with a tied final score. Both teams 5 of 10 from the field, 50%. Difference for Connersville in that first quarter. They were 4 of 6 from the three-point line. Cooled off a little bit there in the second quarter, 3 of 6 from the field, 2 of 5 from the three-point line, and just 1 of 2 from the field goal. So overall in the first half, 50% from the field, 8 of 16, 55% from the three-point line, 6 of 11. They had 9 rebounds. Brown leads the way with 4 of those, but 10 turnovers is what helped the Golden Bears. Shelbyville 5 of 10 from the field in the first quarter, 4 of 9 in the second quarter, makes them 9 of 19 at halftime, 47%. 2 of 5 from the three-point line in the first quarter, 1 of 3 in that second quarter, 3 of 8 overall, 38%. 5 of 6 from the free throw line, they've got the edge there. They have been out-rebounded 9-6. Kuhn and Williams each with two, or Kuhn and Asher each with 2 rebounds leads the way there. Shelbyville with just 6 turnovers, 3 in each quarter.
Acra Automotive Halftime Report, 26-23 SHS on Giant FM Sports.
Bouquet Manor, the finest independent living retirement community with assisted services and 24-hour care for residents 55 and older in the area. McKay Manor's residents have everything they need to live life with more independence. Offering 5-star dining, a full calendar of creative programs and outings, McKay Manor proudly accepts veterans benefits and offers exceptional pricing on 1- and 2-bedroom apartments with full kitchens. To schedule a personalized tour and complimentary meal, give Tracy Tucker a call at 398-3100 or visit McKay Manor, 1473 East McKay Road, Shelbyville.